Good morning, everybody. This is Lori Wilson with you on Community Voice. Happy December the... Wow, is it December the 5th already? Holy cow. It's Wednesday, a beautiful day, and we have Dick Backert with us as our Wednesday guest. Good morning, Mr. Backert.
Good morning, Carrollton and Byrnes.
And in Byrnes. And actually, we have listeners in Japan, and we have listeners in California. And who else knows?
I don't know, but it's rather impressive, our listening audience.
I think so, too. And they're all absolutely smart. Hey, and speaking of smart, I want to just get this part not out of the way, because that seems negative. But we have a 12 Days of Christmas trivia contest going on. And with some real kind of skull-cracking questions. But on the upside, I'm going to ask the question. And, Dick, if you want to take a stab at it.
All right, I shall.
Okay. No, actually, I don't think you should give this one away, because I think you're going to know it immediately.
No, I know we don't want to. Well, I'll intentionally answer it incorrectly.
Okay, all right. You can give us an answer that will tell everybody what not to say. Okay, so here are the rules. Let's get those over with first. Okay, so pay attention, everybody. This is complicated. So I'm going to tell you the question. And it might take some research. Some of these questions, as I said, they're not obvious. So after you research an answer to the question, go onto our website at graticcommunications.com. Click on the 12 Days of Christmas trivia question banner and enter your answer. And from the entries of correct answers, and here I have to use passive voice because I don't know who's doing it, but somebody will be drawing a name from amongst the people who got the answer right. And that name, whoever that lucky person is going to win $100 American. So that's pretty cool.
Right. Yes, and spend it quickly.
Well, yes, and you can do that. But also, there's going to be a drawing at the end of this. It's a sort of a capstone event. And I think, well, I won't say, I'm not positive who's going to be doing this. But anyway, all of the winners' names are going to be put back into a kitty and a redrawing thereof, and the ultimate prize winner is going to convert that $100 into $1,000.
And not be drawn and quartered.
Exactly. So, here is the question. All right. Here it is right here. According to the Bible, how many wise men visited Jesus at the manger?
Oh, gosh, it was a small manger, but they got 32 people in there. I don't know how they did it.
I don't know. That was maybe one of the first miracles.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, that is clearly not the correct answer. And so, says according to the Bible, I really think that we're talking Luke here, but I may be wrong. Okay. So there
but
it is.
I do know what gifts they came bearing.
Well, tell us, because that's
frankincense and myrrh. Yes, of course.
And gold.
And gold. That's right.
Which makes me want to break into song, because I know every word of that Christmas carol.
That Christmas carol. There you go. Okay.
Well, okay. So in case you didn't hear, everybody, Brad Raffensperger dominated last night over his Democrat opponent John Barrow, and that was all I was caring about. About that runoff. Did you vote, Dick?
Oh, absolutely. We vote absentee because of our advanced age and incapacity mobility. But yes, we did. We voted, and we voted for we voted for everyone with an R after his or her name, rejecting the D's in toto because of the incredible events of the Kavanaugh hearing and other knowledge we have of the people on the D side of this spectrum.
Well, you know, I want to talk about the Kavanaugh hearing as it relates to a conversation that you and I have both watched on YouTube, so it'll be our first YouTubeable of the show. I was, and you were too, this is so funny because you and I had the same idea for a first segment. We watched an interview between Mark Levin and Heather McDonald. Now, Heather McDonald is an academic. She actually is in English. She has her BA in English and her MA in English, but then she went on and did something really smart with her degree, and that was...
She's also a lawyer.
Right. She went on to get her JD. So, but she's been a critic of academia for quite some time, you know, especially in the wake of this whole Me Too movement, and also even before that, the sort of trigger warning generation of students and faculty that we have these days. So she was talking about, she was sort of comparing and contrasting on this YouTube video the pre-1980s academia, in which she was able to read the classics, you know, Shakespeare and Homer and, you know, just all of the greats without referencing, you know, their body parts.
And race of the author.
Skin color. But she is now going to, I want to play this and you and I can talk about it, but she's now going to draw a comparison between that access to some of the great works of humankind in terms of art and literature to the way they're being taught today. And she locates, well, she doesn't really locate it, but she explains to us that if we were paying attention during the Kavanaugh confirmation fiasco, that is the quintessential outcome of problems that she is describing in the academy. So we can talk about that. I just wanted to play about a minute of that conversation, Mark Levin and Heather McDonald. And I think that it was last night's, was it last night or the night before? I guess it was Sunday's show. He has a Sunday show on Fox called,
I believe it was Sunday,
Life, Liberty, and Levin. Anyway, let's listen in.
Come the 80s, and students were given a license for ignorance. They were taught that the only thing they needed to know about a book was the race and gender of the author, to know whether it was thoroughly dismissible without even being read, and they could go on to instead wallow in their own delusional oppression. And it has only gotten worse since then. And what we are doing is breeding the grounds for, I fear, civil war. Because students are being taught to hate the greatest works of Western civilization, and frankly, to hate each other. From the moment a student steps on college campus today as a freshman, or a fresh person, I should probably say, the bureaucracy is determined to drum into that student's head identity politics, which says he's either a victim or an oppressor. Oppressors are obviously, most famously, white males, heterosexual white males. The only way they can get out of their oppressor category is to become an ally of the oppressed.
So you've got the oppressor and the oppressed, and it all has to do with skin color, ethnicity, and gender. So what are your thoughts, Dick?
Well, that's a setup for not only the ideological conflict that we're experiencing currently, but we've seen evidence of what I think is an almost inevitable physical conflict between the opposing sides in this thing.
Well, I mean, that's already been made manifest.
Of course. Yeah, the Antifa thing and all the rest
of
it.
Whatever. They don't even know what that means.
Well, yeah, they couldn't define fascists if they had to.
No, let alone spell it.
Yeah, but she made a comment saying that she was glad she underwent her formal education back in the 70s. Well, this goes back to the 30s when the Frankfurt School, the mm-hmm. cultural Marxists, came here. Thanks to Max Horkheimer and others, they brought it to Columbia University in about 1935. Thank you, Mr. Roosevelt, and it proliferated from there. Columbia was one of the more prominent, what they used to call normal schools, where they educated teachers, and of course the Marxists were clever enough, as they traditionally are. They understood that if we could get a hold of the teachers, that institution, we could spread our incredibly insane doctrine throughout the entire society. And we're living with that today, folks. That's where we are.
Well, on that note, I think that we should spend our second segment exploring this a little bit more. But first, we are going to hear from Tanner Health System. So we'll be back in 60 seconds with more on our conversation about this show that we were referencing with Heather McDonald, and just kind of what condition our condition is in with respect to the Academy.
Make a great song title, wouldn't
it? Yeah, I think I'll sing it for everybody when we get
there,
back.
There you go.
60 seconds. Be right back.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
And that would be...
We're back, everybody. Yeah, we're playing What Condition Our Condition
What Condition My Condition.
Oh, man. And that makes me think of my one of my favorite movies that you would hate, and that's it's called The Big Lebowski.
Oh, no. The Dude Abides.
The Dude Abides. Man, so true.
That's a classic.
Well,
that's a classic.
At the time, I remember watching that movie going, I have no idea at all what the point of this movie is, but it was strangely... Over time, I've come to think of it, and I've probably seen it so many times I could.
I'm not sure how we got there, but I must comment that that movie features one of my favorite actors, David Huddleston, as the Big Lebowski.
Oh yeah, he's the big. Oh, he's so funny.
Yeah, he's the late David Huddleston.
And
he's gone.
He famously said, "Do what your parents did. Get a job, sir."
Exactly.
Now right. That was a movie in the 1990s. And mm-hmm. I wasn't sure I could wrap my brain around it, only I was just, we loved it. We watched it over and over and over again. Now, from the perspective of 2000 and what are we, 2018, almost 19, I look back and go, wow, that Coen Brothers show mm-hmm. was it was a commentary on this slacker class
yep.
of young men, and I guess females as well, mm-hmm. that sort of the it's called the puer eternus, the eternal boy that doesn't man up finally, ever.
Yeah, soy boy.
Right.
Yes, beta males.
Beta male, right, yeah. Which brings us to, see how smart we are, right back into our conversation about the problem with our campus, our university campuses.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Take it away.
Well, we need to get a handle on it. Listen, I sent that Heather McDonald interview out with a prefatory comment, and it was, let's assume you're a trained, educated engineer and a businessman who uses engineering as your basis for your living, and you're accused of a crime, and you're put on trial, and you look over into the jury box, and it's filled with these millennials and others. Who have gone through this incredibly hate engendering class, race, ethnicity, mm-hmm. Indoctrination in college. And do you really think you're going to get a fair trial? Because they certainly are not a jury of your peers.
Well, it was so shocking to me, this whole we believe all accusers. I'm hearkening back to
yeah.
Kavanaugh, but this yeah. is what happens on campuses everywhere. You've got this notion that the Constitution doesn't really apply on campus, and
I think it's an extension of this entitlement mentality that began, back in the 80s. It's now morphed into this corrosive and malicious. McDonald calls it hatred.
Right.
They're teaching people to hate.
Well, if you think that if someone convinces you that you are a victim and you buy into that lock, stock, and barrel, you no longer have to take responsibility for your inadequacy. All you have to do is sit back and hate others for leading you to this terrible point, which is why I think Jordan Peterson has become so popular, because he's saying, hey, you know, pick yourself up, stop being pathetic, put on a suit, get a job.
Yeah. And you have to wonder, these young people are now spending so much time doing this. When do they have time to actually involve themselves in the pursuit of their academic education? I mean, at a traditional, I hate to use the term, traditional liberal level. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced that I'm going to encourage the young folks in my family to not involve themselves in college until we straighten this out, but rather find themselves some decent literature, some decent books on various subjects, technical mm-hmm. subjects, mm-hmm. And read it, educate yourself. I remember my experience. I had a heck of a time with trigonometry in high school. I couldn't learn trig to save my life. When I got into the Air Force as an instructor, I suddenly had a need for trig. I took an Army training manual. In 2 weeks, I'd mastered trigonometry.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I happen to agree with you. It hurts me to say so, but I don't think I would recommend at least a liberal education.
Especially if you come out of it with $100,000 in debt.
Right.
I mean, it's insane.
It's really an indoctrination. And Heather McDonald makes the point that she used to take solace in the fact that the STEM fields, that science, technology, engineering, and math, they were grounded in fact, and therefore if you stayed away from the humanities, which I would recommend with all my heart, and sent your kid to a STEM discipline, that he or she would be pretty much sort of inoculated or at least segregated from that other ridiculous sort of victimology curriculum. However, she points out that lately the national,
National Science Foundation.
Yes, National Science Foundation.
That's the scary part.
Yes, it's tell everybody what they're doing. They're
funding.
Well,
because this incredible idiocy that's going on in the universities has flowed over into science, where before,
E equal to MC squared, and there was nothing.
Yeah, yeah,
Things
fall at 32 feet per second squared, and all of a sudden, that's up for question because it may not, because some white guy may have thought of it.
That's
it's
right.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, and hence, even those STEM fields are breached. Remember the I forget his name, the president of Harvard, correctly observing that women think differently than men, and that's why there aren't as many in the STEM field. So they have different thought processes, which is absolutely true and scientifically based, but he got fired. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we have diversity officers now. And I know I'm repeating myself, but officer of diversity, not even vice president?
And they're being paid $400,000 a year over at UCLA.
$400,000 a year. And the thing is, if you are an officer of diversity, or as I like to call it, officer of retribution, what do you do? Well, you've got, I know in my experience in academia, when I left it, it was in part because all of the new hires of faculty in my Bailey, in my side of the campus, were based on the color of the skin, the sexual orientation. We have to have somebody diverse. And there was no talk of competence or, excellence of work product.
If you're the diversity officer, you spend your time attempting to isolate and identify new areas in which you and your cohort can be offended.
Exactly. That and putting ridiculous transgender-friendly bathroom signs around campus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the problem has reached a flashpoint where the sensible people in this country, and we still have some, are beginning to understand the depth to which we have been dragged by the cultural Marxists. And the rebellion has begun.
Okay, well, let's stop there then, because that sounds like we're about to spill into our next segment. So we'll stop right there, and we'll take a minute and hear from Tanner Health System. And when we get back, more with Dick Backert on this beautiful Wednesday. Stick around.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama, because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
And we're back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on this third and final segment of Community Voice. Lori Wilson, it's still me. Dick, are you still you?
Yes, I am still here.
Okay, so no transformations happened in the minute that we were apart. Okay, what were we talking about for this segment? Oh, you do some pretty good work on YouTube.
Yes, there is a there are a couple of eccentrics who are doing something called the Fed Up Professor series, and there are about 30 of them up on YouTube now, and I would encourage our audience to. They're about 2 minutes long, and they're, we think, rather interestingly produced.
What's the premise of the podcast?
The corruption and the problems occurring within the academic community in this country.
And there's some personal anecdotes and some
and solutions. So the folks who do this are getting into some solutions, and it could have a beneficial impact on the situation we face.
The solution, the most prevalent solution, being starve these programs. Don't let your kids go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. Well, so, but you said something uncharacteristically optimistic at the end of the last segment. Say that again, because I'm not sure I can believe my ears.
Well, I think the rebellion against the one world globalist dumbing down of the respective earthly societies, I believe it's begun. I've been tracking the news out of Europe, and it's been blacked out by the mainstream fake news media. Mm-hmm. But the folks in London, the folks in England, are beginning to rebel against the unhindered and completely overblown importation of migrants from third world countries.
And the failure of Theresa May to...
Exactly, she's on the ropes. Yeah, I mean, and Merkel is on the way out in Germany. Macron is in trouble. He's a Rothschild lackey. He's been a member of the Rothschild banking family and came in as an outsider. And the French people are finally realizing that he is if not deep state, deep earth. It's pretty pernicious, and people are beginning to speak out about it. In fact, I saw a clip of the other day where the gendarmes confronted the protesters in the street in Paris, and they took their helmets, their riot helmets, off in solidarity with the protesters. I was almost in tears.
You're talking about les gestes jaunes, which means the yellow vests. Tell everybody who might not know exactly what this collection of countrywide protests are about in France.
They're about the now readily visible to any with the eyes to see destruction of the indigenous culture, the national identity of these respective nations. And now Trump is being attacked for using the term nationalist. Well, there's nothing. Yeah, there was an evil connotation for nationalism back in Germany in the 30s. That's not the sort of nationalism that is being talked about. The nationalism that's being talked about is the pride in one's place of birth, one's country.
How dare you?
Yeah, shame on you. But the globalists, I think, are on the run. George Soros has been evicted from Hungary. Putin put a standing warrant on him in Russia. He can't go to Russia.
Seriously? I've never heard this. Where are you getting
this?
Oh,
yeah. No. It's been fairly common knowledge for some time. George Soros is basically a Rothschild banking system lackey. A lot of his funding comes from those folks. And I think folks are finally figuring out what's going on. It had to get to the point of the near destruction of their culture and their societal values.
So, but how do you turn back what's already happened? I mean, how do you, the genie's out of the bottle.
It may come to some very unpleasant circumstances. It may come to armed rebellions of various types. Because these folks are not going to go gently into that good night. It's going to be a fight. We're facing a fight.
Well, even in our own country, we have the talk about product of a liberal arts education, e.g. incompetent freshman Congress people to be, right? We've got that ridiculous New York girl.
Don't go there.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is they're actually finally naming their agenda. And that is, you know, disarming the American people, raising taxes, freebies for everybody, which everyone knows isn't possible. But so now our government, if we talk about the academy and the failures of the academy, we can now say, yeah, and now it's in our government itself. So how worried are you? Do you think that these new far left that leaves like Pelosi way behind, how do you think they're going to fare?
Anybody's guess. We try to end these programs on a positive note, but I'm deeply, deeply, deeply concerned that we may have started too late to turn this thing around.
I think these guys are so stupid that they're going to expose themselves and you know, the red county America, you know, like that electoral map that came out right after after Trump's victory. I just think that let them talk because they're just so stupid. Have you really sat through an interview with Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez?
No.
It's not easy, but she's so dumb.
Yeah, but think about the fact that people like Booker and what's-her-face from San Francisco are products of this educational system.
But they're
it's now going to get worse, just going to get worse.
They're so... Cory Booker is a buffoon.
Yes, but somebody voted for this guy. Somebody voted for Cortez. And those people's numbers, their numbers are growing, unfortunately.
Well, you're right. And Hank Johnson remains.
Please. Yeah.
Don't tip over Guam, please. Please, don't capsize Guam.
Folks, look, the bottom line is we're in trouble. And unless we recruit more folks to our position, it's only going to get worse. And I don't believe any of us want to leave what may be coming down the road at us as a legacy to our children and grandchildren. But we may not have a choice at this point.
In the meantime, let's feel really, really good that the gubernatorial race ended the way it did. And that yesterday the Georgians turned out and they elected who I think is the right person for our Secretary of State. We have 1 minute. It's all for you. Go,
well,
Dick. And be positive, please.
Yeah, okay. Winston Churchill spoke at a commencement many, many years ago, and he stood up and he said, he cleared his voice and that the way he traditionally did, and he said, never, never, never give up. And he sat down.
That is a perfect place to stop right there. Thank you so much. Will you come back and see us after Christmas?
I shall.
All right.
First opportunity. Yes.
All right. Wonderful. Thanks for being with us, everybody. I'll see you in 23 and a half hours. Until then, go out and never give up. That's what you have to do today. Never give up. Bye-bye.